This is a great day in Tennessee football history.
Our football program has the history, the facilities, the tradition, and the resources to play with anyone, anytime, and that's what we're going to do again.
They low down, they dirty, they some snitches, and I hate Philip Fulmer. I hate their colors.
I have been a rich man, and I have been a poor man, and I choose rich.
Okay, well, without further ado, this is the second episode of the Big Orange Big Bets podcast. Kicking things off again with Nick and Chris. Should have a lot better audio, hopefully, this time, trying out some new things. This episode will be going out on the new social media we've got up, at Bets Orange on Twitter and Facebook. Got a new logo to check out. So look for more content there. I guess we'll start things off with the elephant in the room, Nick and Chris. After last night, the Super Bowl was kind of garbage. It might be the most boring Super Bowl I remember ever watching. I was wrong on my picks. I mean, I did say that if you wanted the money, you wanted the smart play, go with the Patriots, but I was going to bet with my heart and hope that the good guys won and the Rams did it. They did not. The Patriots covered. Patriots won. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I also missed all my bets yesterday. I, like we talked about on the last episode, we said, you know, the Rams kind of were the better team, so the value was in their money line. I lost that one, and then I also sent a separate bet that was parlayed with the Patriots cover and the over, which didn't happen. I didn't really do any prop bets either, except we got 200-1 odds on Cordarrelle Patterson being Super Bowl MVP. And I can honestly say when he returned that opening kick, I saw him hit that first gap. My heart dropped a little bit, thinking if he was going to return that kick, he actually might have had a legitimate chance to win. And probably would have, honestly, with how boring and low scoring that game was. But yeah, it was a pretty bad game overall. Didn't, you know, really enjoy much out of it, but that's football sometimes.
I wouldn't necessarily say it was an awful game. I just think the Patriots straight up dominated. Jared Goff looked lost out there. It looked like Jeff Fisher was coaching him again. Last week on the show, I said Patriots would allow less than 1.5 sacks, and that rang true. They only had one sack, and Brady was getting the ball out quick. The D-line wasn't getting much pressure, and overall, it's kind of stunk to watch Tom Brady win his sixth ring.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the big thing, hopefully, is that maybe we see him retire in a couple years and we can stop hating that team as much as we do right now. All in all, a pretty boring outing. There was no nothing really exciting about the game at all. Even the big game plays, the pick that Goff threw, the touchdown that Michelle had, really just didn't do a lot for me. But thankfully that's over. Unfortunately, that was the last football game for quite a while. But we'll push on. So I guess now that's done, let's dive into last week. Let's talk about what we thought about the Vols against South Carolina. Now, all three of us unanimously picked for South Carolina to cover at, you know, anywhere between -9 and even down as far as -6.5, -7. That did not happen. Tennessee won that game by 22 points. Now, I'm never upset for the Vols to, you know, do better than I thought they were going to. So I will take that loss pretty happily. It was a bit of a closer game at half than I thought maybe it would be. After seeing how the first half went, we slowed down a little bit, but came out roaring in the second half. That under the basket move Lamonte Turner had on Chris Silva was, I think, my second play of the season, with the exception of Belton's dunk against Vanderbilt. It was smooth. It was fun to watch. All in all, I came out of that game pretty happy. I thought it was the most complete game we had played in quite a while. You kind of just see everyone firing on all cylinders to, you know, just really like be that team that we saw them be in some of their earlier games that maybe we didn't see against Alabama and didn't see against Vanderbilt. And then we saw it again against A&M this weekend where they just came out and kind of exploded. Bone and Bowden, you know, did what they needed to do. Bone was incredible in that game as well. So, you know, Vols are really riding a high. Pretty happy about it. What are your thoughts?
It was nice seeing Admiral get back after having that rough skid. Both him and Grant were a rebound away from a double-double. And overall, I think we're just going to keep rolling. We have a pretty easy schedule coming up with Missouri, and I believe LSU's next. Even though LSU has shown some flashes, I think the Vols can just keep on going and doing their thing and just put pedal to the floor against their opponents.
Yeah, obviously this last game was great. We finally kind of put it all together on the road. I think we scored 93 points. Is that was right? Correct.
93-76. Correct.
Yeah. So also through that game, like Chris is saying, Admiral kind of got out of his shooting slump. He shot 50% from the field. We had five players score double digits. With the lowest of those five being Admiral, who still had 14. So we're still getting the same production out of like the main five guys we were talking about before. It would have been nice to see Alexander do a little bit more on the offensive end. But once again, I believe that his main purpose on this team is, you know, defense and rebounding. And also another interesting stat I saw is we only shot four free throws the entire game and went 4 for 4. So just kind of interesting to see how many points this team's capable of scoring just from shooting on the floor alone. 9 for 20 from three and 40 from 62 overall. So great shooting night on the road, and great to see the Vols cover and also, you know, just look dominant the entire game.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say that anytime Tennessee can drop 90 plus points and go to the cherry stripe just four times, yeah, which with Grant on the team is unheard of, is a pretty good night regardless of what happens. And, you know, when you're coming out dropping, winning that game by 17, I think you're pretty happy. Chris, to correct you, after Missouri, Florida comes to town, South Carolina. We do not have LSU until we play at LSU on the 23rd of February.
Okay, I got that wrong. And I also thought last time I was talking, we were talking about the South Carolina game, and I wanted to touch on how Derek Walker stepped in the game when Kyle Alexander got in foul trouble. And against A&M, I was hoping he'd get more playing time. He was on the floor for just a couple minutes against Texas A&M. But I really want to see his development throughout the season and see what he can do next season as well, because he needs to step in and hopefully replace Fulkerson.
Yeah, I love Fulkerson. You know, he's a hustle and defensive player, but I agree. I think that Derek Walker kind of suits his role a little bit better. You know, especially early in the season, I was kind of hurt to not see Derek get more minutes. You know, John really struggled, I thought, at the beginning of the year, especially on the offensive end. He's kind of a liability anytime he got the ball and at the free throw line. You know, not to say Derek Walker is some kind of elite offensive player either, but, you know, he's really strong and physical. And when we need, you know, a big man to come in off the bench and battle some stronger teams, I think Derek can easily be that guy if he gets a little bit better.
I guess we'll move from there into the game tomorrow. Quanzo Martin comes back to town with his Missouri team. The Tigers have been a questionable team at best this season. The line on that game has opened at the Vols by 17. Mm-hmm. What are our thoughts? How do we feel about that game in general? And if, you know, if the Vols are going to cover there?
It's always tough. You know, as Tennessee fans, we know how Quanzo coach teams play. It's all defense. It's boring basketball to watch. And I'm not as much as confident in the spread as I am in the over-under. It's set at 142, I believe, and I'm going with the over. I think Tennessee's going to pile on points, and Missouri will score just enough to get over that 142 mark.
Yeah, I like the over in this game too, even though Missouri and Kwanzaa coach teams are known for their defense. The Vols are going to play fast. I thought last game we kind of played to their strength. I think we still ended up scoring 87 points, but it was a slow beginning, and you could kind of tell they wanted to slow the tempo. I'm sure Rick's going to have the guys coming out of the gates running and just push them up and down the court. And I think Missouri will be able to hang in for a little bit, maybe like the first half, and then ultimately it'll open into a blowout. As for the 17-point spread, though, that's a lot of points to cover. I definitely think the Vols are capable of that. I mean, we're at home. We beat Missouri at their place by, what was it, like 24 or something? 25?
24.
So there's no
87-63.
There's no reason we shouldn't cover 17 at home this time. So I think the Vols is a safe bet. Me personally, I'm going to stay away from it just because 17's a lot. And, you know, and I don't want the Vols to look good, win by 16. And then I'm pissed because they didn't cover the spread. But Missouri's capable of covering. I don't think they will, though.
Yeah, Kwanzaa's going to have his boys running. You know, this is a big game for him. He probably still has that vendetta out against Tennessee that they ran him off after a Sweet 16 run. And the first half's going to be close. A play may be Missouri first half minus 9.
Yeah.
Or plus 9.
Plus 9. I could see that.
So my thoughts on this game, you know, obviously I think the Vols are going to go in here and take care of business. Missouri has been odd in its season and the games that it's shown up in and the games it hasn't. I mean, they lost to A&M after leading with what I think was 14 points. They lost to LSU after being up, I think it was 14 points with 2 minutes 14 seconds to go and lost that game, I believe, in overtime. They got throttled 92-58 against Missouri. They went, you know, beat Vanderbilt by 10. Against Auburn, 92-58. They beat Vanderbilt by 10. It's just been kind of an all-over-the-place season for them. I'm going to say that Tennessee covers here. Not going to put a lot of money on it, but the only reason I think so is that, you know, they're coming into town. It's going to be rowdy.
Yeah.
Tennessee's going to want to continue this run they've had. And the main reason that I think that the Tennessee covers here is because late in the game, when it's a 12, 14, 15-point game, I don't think Kwanzaa's going to let his kids quit, especially that hard defensive ball they play. I just think that he's going to, especially him being back here, he's not going to let that happen. He's going to push them hard enough that even when they're down by double digits, they're going to get caught fouling a lot because they're not going to be giving up. And I think that's where you're going to see Tennessee in those final minute or two push it just over to that 17 mark. But I'll be intrigued to see if that actually happens. Like I said, that's more of just a fun one for me.
Yeah.
Let's go into what are your thoughts on your picks. I guess let's go ahead and review last week. We did pretty well. We went 3-0 on locks. I took Alabama by 2. Easy money over Mississippi State. Nick, you had Kentucky at 9.5. They didn't even get close to 9.5. I think that was what?
30.
16-7. Yeah, 30 at that 30. Point. Chris took Buffalo minus 12. Got a little nervous, but I think they won by 14.
Yeah, I sweated that one out.
Things worked out all right. And then fun bets, pretty happy I went undefeated on that. Took Georgia and Arkansas under 152.5. And again, easy money for me. Didn't even have to sweat that one out. Nick, Kansas did not make up what you were hoping on the money line, lost there. Neither did UNLV really take care of business like you were hoping to cover or remotely win that game. And then UNC did cover 8.5, I believe, Nick, Chris.
They
so
did.
You did all right, but the over in that UNC Georgia Tech game at 148 did not hit.
Did not.
Georgia Tech did not put up any points really at all. So, you know, that happens. So moving on, I'll say my lock for the week is definitely going to be Syracuse by 3 over Florida State. Florida State, again, like Missouri, has kind of been all over the place with their season. They are ranked in the top 25. I'm not certain that they need to be. They shot 34.8% from the floor last week against a not great Georgia Tech team to win by 10. Syracuse is running off back-to-back wins. They've put some good games on the schedule this year. I think that they're definitely going to go in there and easily cover. 3, so I'm going to take that. And then my fun bet to sweat out again this week is once again an under. Vanderbilt, I believe, is playing at Arkansas, under 147.5. Arkansas played out of their minds against LSU and almost still lost that game after being up, I think, 19 at some point. I don't think I'm going to see that again this week. Vandy is, you know, still looking like Vandy. I think Arkansas is going to be out of gas this week. I think Vanderbilt's just going to be Vanderbilt. I don't expect that game to go, you know, above the 70 mark. You know, I'm thinking maybe a 70-65 win. So I'm going to take the under there. Thoughts on your stuff, Chris?
So I'm going the NBA for tomorrow. My lock is Detroit at the Knicks. The Knicks, after that trade, we don't know how they're going to gel together, and Detroit's favored by 2.5. They're on a back-to-back, but they're just coming off a win tonight, probably their best win of the season. They beat the Nuggets by 26 points.
Yep.
And my fun bet, LeBron's back. You got to bet on LeBron, -3 against the Pacers. They're missing Oladipo for the season. It's in Indiana, but fun bet. You got to watch the Lakers with LeBron in his return.
Yeah, I definitely I like Falcon, Syracuse over Florida State. I think people really underestimate a lot of times in the ACC when you go on road trips or road games from Florida to Boston College or Syracuse. You know, that's a really long ways, and playing in that dome isn't easy. So I like that pick. And also, Chris, your pick with Detroit over the Knicks, I think that's pretty easy as well. I'm going to do college basketball again. I have 3 picks. My lock will be Michigan State -10 at Illinois tomorrow. Michigan State's coming off of 2 pretty tough losses. Last weekend, they lost to Indiana in overtime at home, which was a pretty big upset. And then before that, they lost to Purdue. I think that one wasn't as close. They lost by like 12 or something. So they're down 2 games. Tom Izzo's teams always come around about this time of the year. It's the same thing with Calipari. Illinois is not very good. They have won 2 of the last 3 conference games. They beat Maryland, and then I forget who they're. Oh, they beat Nebraska at home. That's right. So they're coming. They're getting a little hotter. But being from Illinois, having followed the team for a while, this is a Tuesday night game. There's not going to be that many Illinois fans there. There might be more Michigan State fans. They're going to run them out of the gym. I think it's the same deal like last week with Kentucky over Vandy. You know, the teams just aren't on the same level, and the better team is something to prove. So I'm going to go Michigan State -10 right there, probably by the half point to 9.5. But then I got 2 other value picks. I like NC State +11 at UNC in the rivalry game. I know that's hard to say, on the account that NC State only scored 24 points on Saturday. But that's why it's just kind of, it's a value pick, because these rivalry games are always close. Both teams are good this year, despite NC State only scoring 24 points. I think that was probably the worst showing of college basketball we've seen this season. But it's a chance for them to rebound and bounce back. So I kind of like the spread there. Otherwise, UNC will probably beat them by 30. But we'll see how that goes. And then my other one is another rivalry game, and I'm looking for redemption from last week. Kansas is +1.5 at Kansas State. The money line should be about the same as it was last week when I said take Kansas over Texas, probably be like 105, 110. And one of these is going to pay off. I think betting Kansas money line will come through and win you back your money from last week if you took my advice and picked them over Kansas or Texas. So those are my 3 college basketball. Feeling good about the lock. We'll see how the other 2 go.
Nick looking for the redemption after Kansas last week. Yep. Just in case you're tuning in and did not catch the monstrosity that was the NC State game we're talking about, somehow NC State lost to Virginia Tech 47-24. When I got that ESPN update, I thought I was getting a halftime score. I don't know how in that game Virginia Tech only scores 47. I know NC State went 9 of 54 from the floor. They shot the worst percentage in the shot clock era, I believe. I know they had the least amount of points by a top 25 ranked team in the shot clock era. One of the most astounding basketball games I have kept up with in a while. But, you know, you're going to get those sometimes. I am glad I didn't have any money in that, thankfully. Unless I took the under, then I would have been laughing all the way to the bank. But I, of course, did not. I guess that wraps up basketball talk.
I want to talk to Nick about his Kansas pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you think Kansas is going to get redemption?
Yes.
Even after all this stuff's coming out about Silvo,
DeSosa. Yeah.
You know, you don't think the media's in their head? Their coach may be under investigation soon.
No, because the DeSosa thing stems back to like November.
Never official.
Yeah, I don't even know if he's been with the team. Certainly he hasn't been practicing because he's been out this whole year. All that was just them saying that he's not playing at all this season. And that's a hit they already took. The bigger thing for them is Azubuike being out. But I feel good. Kansas is still a good team. Part of me is saying that because, you know, they're Tennessee's only loss, but they are a good team, and you know they will get it together for March. I believe in that.
He has been on the bench. I wonder if he's going to remain on the bench mm-hmm. throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a rivalry
it's an
game.
Pick. Yeah. And it is Kansas. They're blue blood. What are they ranked?
They're ranked 13th now.
13th. Okay.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's almost kind of like a must win for them. If you're looks like Texas Tech is blowing out West Virginia right now. Iowa State just beat Oklahoma by one. The Big 12, if they want to remain at the top, they're going to have to win this game, especially losing three of their last five before then. So we'll see.
Looks to be a fun one for you to sweat out for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one last thing before we leave basketball. As we know, Michigan and State both dropped games this past weekend. The new AP poll is out. Tennessee remains at number one with 48 first place votes. Kentucky slides into fifth place. So assuming nothing crazy happens in the next three games, the fourth game coming up will be at Rupp and will at the very least be a top five, if not a top three matchup, depending on if anything happens ahead of Kentucky to move them forward. So, you know, we got to start being on the lookout for that, mm-hmm. but let's take care of business at home for these next three games and then gear up for a trip to Rupp.
Yeah.
Those are going to be some wild environments. I mean, Kentucky hates Tennessee. They're going to want revenge from football season, you know, their best team drop into a 5-7 Tennessee. And then, you know, all of a sudden Tennessee's good at basketball again. And in my years at Tennessee, Vols have never lost to Kentucky at home. And if we go on the road, take care of business there, I believe we're going to be rocking Thompson Bowling Arena and come out with a win again there.
It'll be fun either way. Speaking of us beating Kentucky's best team they've had, at least in my lifetime, maybe ever, depending on who you ask, in football.
Yep.
National Signing Day is coming up this Wednesday. National Signing Day doesn't have quite the flair that it used to have when everything was all on this day, now that we've got the early signing period, but it does kind of narrow down the field of what we're looking at. I'm really interested to see what Tennessee ends up with here. They've got a lot of needs. They have, you know, the potential to pick up some really big names that they're in huge battles for. And then they have the potential to miss out on pretty much all of those. I don't know that there's anyone except maybe Darnell Wright, who's a lock. I really hope so. You know, it's between us and West Virginia. That's his home state.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has said forever that he's a lean, hard lean to Tennessee. And I hope that's the case. We could really use, you know, the number two in the nation, since we already have the number one in the nation, offensive tackle to really – you know, step up in that line. We don't know if Trey Smith is going to be back next year, and it doesn't matter if Trey Smith is back next year or not. We definitely need more offensive linemen that are much better than what we have currently. Drew Richmond looks to be leaving, and that's actually probably going to be a blessing.
Yeah, good riddance.
If we can get someone in there to replace him. Other big targets, big names, George Pickens, wide receiver out of Hoover, Alabama. He's committed to Auburn currently. You know, Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, those are all his top schools. I don't know that there's a lot that we're going to do to pull him away from there. I don't know that we really have that. But if we were going to bring in a guy to hopefully pull a wide receiver in, we do have the best wide receiver recruiter in the nation now in one T. Martin. So we'll see if we can make that happen. And then, in my opinion, the two biggest battles that we're going to have, and I think we've known since the end of the early signing period, is Chris Bogle, who's currently committed to Alabama, and then Henry Toto, who is not committed, has kind of confirmed that he's a big Alabama lean, but it's Alabama, us, and Washington. So hopefully, you know, we can pull him away. Both of those guys on the, you know, the defensive side of the ball, having a weak DN and Chris Bogle, and then, you know, a strong outside linebacker in Henry Toto would be fantastic, I think, for this program. The Toto signing would be a pretty rough day for Bob Kessling. But I think other than that, Tennessee fans would be pretty happy. What are y'all's thoughts on, you know, as we move forward to this signing day and, you know, kind of the upside or the downside if things go well or maybe not so well?
So going backwards, before I want to give my thoughts on our current targets, is how well Tennessee basketball is helping this class and potentially next year's class recruiting-wise. I mean, when they brought out T. Martin and Jen Chaney, at halftime during the Tennessee game, and the place just went absolutely wild with a packed house full of recruits. That's a big deal. The number one team in the nation with that insane intro hype. I don't even know what you would call it. It's with the lights and the music and the floor designs. That's going to help and pay dividends in recruiting for the next couple years. And stemming from that, I remember I was in AP US History my sophomore year of high school. And I was streaming on my phone Von Bell. He was a Tennessee lock. You know, people were saying his uncle and his grandparents showed up to the high school in Tennessee gear. And then what does he do? Commits to Ohio State. And that's my always big issue with these five stars coming into the last day or two to signing day is I just feel we've missed so much. I know it's a new era of Tennessee football. Butch Jones is gone. Jeremy Pruitt's in, a football guy. And I won't feel comfortable about Darnell Wright until he sends that fax in.
Yeah, I agree with that. No, nothing's a guarantee, especially when you're a Vols fan. I will say I think the Darnell Wright signing would be the biggest and arguably the most important signing for Tennessee, given that, like you mentioned earlier, Falcon, Drew Richmond's departure from the program, and also just kind of the uncertainty with what's going to happen with Trey Smith. We can bring in another top offensive lineman that would probably start immediately and really help our line with this new offense. Going on to I don't even know how to pronounce his name, Totoyo. Toyoto?
We'll just call him Henry.
Henry, yeah. He's okay, we'll call him Henry. There you go.
The West Coast kid.
Yeah, I was reading earlier or this past weekend that, yeah, like you said, he's probably a lock for Alabama. Also, Chris Russell was another one that was on the Vols radar, but he actually canceled his visit to Tennessee over the weekend. And from what I was reading, it sounds like he's going to go to Texas A&M. So without both of those guys, that kind of puts a lot of pressure. I don't know if we have a position for Crouch yet, Quavarius Crouch, but I mean, it sounds like we might need him to play linebacker now if we don't get either of those two guys. And then J.J. Peterson, there's a lot of pressure on him now, I think. I don't think he saw the field last year, right?
No, he appeared in a couple games, I believe, but was still under that threshold to redshirt.
Right, okay. So he did get the redshirt then. I think he needs to be a step-up guy next year too. And then as for George Pickens, I don't think there's much of a chance we get him. That's kind of a Hail Mary shot. But, you know, that's why signing day is exciting. You know, anything can happen, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that, you know, if we don't get Christopher Russell, he's out of Dyersburg, Tennessee, and kind of flew under the radar for a little while until I think Tennessee really pushed for him, and now he's getting some other looks. you know, we've got the potential to really need linebackers. I think that Crouch has said, I know he said it at the like the game he was in earlier, was that he was planning on playing linebacker. That's what he wanted to do as far as longevity goes, looking at, you know, potential NFL aspirations and whatnot. You know, that's the better position to play. And so I think that's the plan, especially with the stable of running backs, you know, with people like Eric Gray that have come in. That's how he got recruited, which I think will be, you know, exciting to see. I think he's listed currently as an early enrollee as a linebacker. A couple of names, I guess, to keep our eyes on a little bit, just to make sure that everything goes the way we're expecting, is you've got Anthony Harris, who's a four-star safety who's committed to Tennessee and hopefully signing on Wednesday. But, you know, as you said earlier, crazy things can happen. And then Ladarius Cox as well, who's a defensive tackle. He's a three-star out of Alabama. Mm-hmm. We just need to make sure that those kids, you know, actually do sign, because – you know, we don't want to be going and throwing a preferred walk-on a scholarship because we couldn't pick up, you know, the class that we needed on National Signing Day. So I'll be excited to see what happens. You know, we let Lakia Henry go. A lot of people were surprised about that, but then it kind of came out that it looks like we kind of told him to find other offers because we didn't have a spot for him. So I think the staff obviously knows what they're doing, and we might get a surprise in there somewhere, but that's kind of why Signing Day is exciting. So I'm excited to see how things go.
And I'm going to talk about my favorite recruit that the Vols did not get. Unfortunately, we whiffed on Hazelwood. I think he was a four-star receiver, maybe a five. Ended up going to Oklahoma over Georgia and Tennessee. And then he came out about a week later saying Georgia was basically like a used car salesman. And I love that jab at Georgia. I hope him the best and hope he balls out at Oklahoma, especially taking those jabs at Georgia. And he's out of the SEC. We won't have to see him. And have you guys heard about, I was reading this the other day, and I was looking him up just a minute ago, Parker Bell from Douglas County, Georgia. He is 6'4", 280 offensive lineman, and he's going to be a blue shirt, which means he'll probably get a scholarship next year. But the cool thing about him is he's a left-handed pitching prospect and may also play first base for the baseball team.
That'll be a fun one to watch. I don't think I'd read about it.
We actually do play Oklahoma in 2020 and 2024, by the way.
Oh, okay. So you see him once.
Yeah, probably. Hopefully. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about those guys. So I haven't been paying as much attention to the signing day as I probably should have. I've been too invested into the basketballs and college hoops right now, but
I think the big thing to remember is that a lot of people expect signing day to like be exciting and you got all the guys you wanted. But Tennessee ended ended National Signing Day, the early signing period, on such a high note this year, picking up Crouch at the end, which you didn't know you were going to get. Yeah. Locking in Eric Gray, which we thought was a lock, obviously making sure we signed Wanya Morris, and then having some unreal additions in Aubrey Solomon from Michigan, who was, I believe, a high four, if not a low five star, when he was originally committed to Michigan and is transferring in. I look at that as an addition to that class. And then realistically, you guys touched on it earlier, J.J. Peterson to me is like he's a new kid coming in because we really didn't see him much. He didn't have full practices. He wasn't at spring camp.
Yeah.
He wasn't at summer practice. So, you know, it's essentially like two huge additions from those guys. So even if we don't get everyone that we're looking for, you know, it's going to be okay. Tennessee's been the spotlight, I feel like, of guys putting on the hat and then tossing it the past few signing days. Or like you had, I believe it was Pettaway, at the early signing period, you put a Tennessee hat on and then tossed it off and put another hat on. And Tennessee coaches were quick to point out that he could not have committed. They didn't give him an offer to commit. So just try to keep in mind, anybody that's watching, keeping up with signing day on Wednesday, that, you know, even if it looks like Tennessee's not getting all the kids that their name was beside, just because our name was there doesn't mean we were really planning on getting them, or the coaches knew that we didn't have a shot at it at that point. So I'm excited to see where this goes.
Yeah.
And hopefully we come out of Wednesday with a couple surprises, but regardless, we'll come out of Wednesday with a basketball dub on Tuesday and be raring to go for this Saturday.
Yeah. Hopefully a top 15 class. I mean, that's got to be the goal this season is, or for this Saturday, top 15 class, potentially even top 10 if we can land a couple of our big guys.
Yeah, I know it's very important for Pruitt, especially in his second year. You know, a lot of these guys he's recruited over the last 2 years will get more and more significant playing time, you know, as they get older and we move past his rookie season. But I always hate putting too much emphasis on signing day. I know it is important to get top guys and top talent, but just look at what Rick Barnes did with the basketball program. You know, he took a lot of one-star, maybe a few three-star guys, and made them into the number one team in the country. And Butch Jones was here before, had a bunch of top classes, and, you know, all of that talent kind of went out the door. So it is possible to get not the highest recruited guys, not the top-ranked guys, and still develop them into very, you know, worthwhile players. And I believe a lot in what Coach Jeremy Pruitt's doing and his ability to develop talent. So...
All right, one last thing before we sign off. I want to get your quick thoughts. Checker TBA for the Florida game. Mm-hmm. Love it, hate it, don't care, just win the game. What are your thoughts?
Don't care, win the game.
Yeah, don't care, win the game. After living through the Butch Jones era, I'm done with gimmicks. I mean, it's going to be cool. It'll look good on TV, look good for photographs. The students get a free T-shirt, but win the game is all that matters.
Yep.
I agree. I mean, the basketball program was the first one to do it back in the day. I think it'll be a fantastic thing for a photo op. It'll be sold out. But realistically, I know people are a little upset about it online. Just let's win the game. And anytime you can crush Florida at home, it'll be a good one.
Yeah, we win the game, people shut up, and it'll be fun. But if we lose, we're going to look stupid and like we weren't ready. So just win the game and wear whatever you want. That's what I say.
All right, well, that wraps up the second episode.
I got one more thing before we get off.
Okay, let's hear it, Chris.
So you remember Preston Williams, you know, his from signing day to putting on the leather helmets to unfortunately leaving the Vols for Colorado State. He was not invited to the combine.
Oh, that's shocking.
Yeah, I didn't know this, but apparently he had a misdemeanor assault charge while at UT. Which was kind of the pushing point to get him to Colorado State. But I think he has the body and the skill set to be a good pro receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he was one of the top receivers last year as far as I don't remember what the name of their trophy is, but I thought he was getting some votes for that as being one of the best receivers in the nation. But that's unfortunate to hear because I would like to see him make an NFL roster.
And I'll root for him. I mean, in my mind, I like to think of him as a Vol.
Yeah.
And would love to see. I mean, unfortunately, didn't work out for Derrick Rogers.
Yeah.
But he's still very good football player, very good wide receiver, and would have made an impact in the NFL if it wasn't for some instances.
Well, we'll see what happens. Maybe one of our favorite teams will pick him up and sign him, and then, you know, he'll hop up through the ranks. We'll see what happens. Anything else before we sign off, guys?
No, I'm good.
I'm all good.
Well, I guess then now this is the end of the second episode of the Big Orange Big Bets podcast. We will look to, hopefully go undefeated on our picks, especially our locks. Those are where the money is going to really be made.
Yeah.
Look for episodes usually every Monday. We will move to Tuesday if the Vols are playing on a Wednesday to be able to talk about that. I know we are playing Kentucky on a Saturday, so we will definitely have an episode prior to that game, probably with a full breakdown of thoughts, because that's going to be a big one.
Yep.
Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you guys next week.
All right, go Vols.